This is Sportsline on WRMJ.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown Mercer County. Touchdown Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
614-0-RUN in Galesburg. Your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
And by office specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales, and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more.
She throws the first three in a row for Rockridge!
Now, from the WRMJ studios in downtown Aledo, here's Jim Taylor with Sportsline.
All right, WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning. A tradition that started back in 1979. Hello, everyone. I'm Jim Taylor. Ty Taylor is alongside. I had a lot of texts last night. People said they can't wait for a sports line on a Saturday morning. Well, look at last night. Two wild finishes with Rockridge beating Morrison. And you had Sherrard coming back to beat the Orient Chargers, and then we, you know, the Mercer County Golden Eagles are definitely trekking in the right direction as they improved to 4-3 last night. So I guess first up, we say, you know, some quality fun was had on the radio last night, right?
Yeah, it was amazing. Like you said, the two games that you and I did, the Rockridge Morrison game was great, with basically the fate of the conference title race on the line in that game, and then with Sherrard and Orion, two teams that had four losses, playing with, you know, basically everything at stake, right? If they want to get to the postseason, and Sherrard comes back and wins in the final seconds. I know we'll talk about the games, you know, specifically in a moment, but yeah, it was a lot of fun last night. I had a lot of fun over at Clifford King Field, without a doubt.
Yeah, and we've talked about, what is it, week seven?
Yeah. Yeah,
week seven. We talked week seven high school football for like 2 hours last night because we were on this view from this View from the West podcast, Instant Reacts. We were on that last night talking about, I know we got off like it was past the 1 o'clock hour last night.
Yeah, and for Mitch, it's 2 o'clock. He's in Ohio.
I never had that on my bucket list that on a Friday night into Saturday morning, I'd be talking 2 hours about high school football.
And you can listen to that. It's out now. Greg put it up after we left, which is crazy. So yeah, it's that's up right now if you want to listen to that. It was me, you, Greg Armstrong, Mitch Stormer, and Brian Stocking.
Well, and the side tangents are the best parts of the conversation, and the Aledo people would appreciate it. When Brian Stocking goes to, he's a graduate of Riverdale High School, and I told him the story when Michael O'Brien made his debut for Aledo when he was just a freshman, and we didn't have his number on the varsity roster that year, and all the Conways will always tell me this story too. And he scored like three or four touchdowns in the JV game. That's when they played JV and varsity games the same night. And then Coach McCarty played him in the varsity game, and he scored four touchdowns. So it was an eight-touchdown night for Michael O'Brien, the freshman. That's where the legend grew. But, yeah, if you want to listen to that, because they break down, like, all of the conferences, and they start talking about a bunch of other sidebar stuff.
Haiti bar the door.
It's just a fun conversation after, you know, Friday night of covering high school sports. So I guess we can begin with Rockridge Morrison last night. Rockets won 14-7. It's weird. You say they had to rally to win the game. So they out first downed Morrison 17-3. Morrison had one first down through early in the fourth quarter. And they get a fluke kind of pass play that Rockridge had well covered. And then the very next play, they get a 44-yard touchdown run. So that was a 92-yard drive in two plays. Rockets down 7-0 with 9 minutes to play. They respond. They go on a drive, and they score with 2 minutes remaining. Pull within 7-6, and Vandegeest has been automatic on PATs. Morrison gets a great special teams play. They block the kick. So there's 2:19 remaining. Rockridge had all three timeouts left. I was telling Coach Cook on the air, I thought Rockridge should have kicked the ball deep. They decide, hey, we're gonna attempt the onside kick. Morrison recovers. Rockridge gets three stops, and then Morrison gets a penalty. They punt it to the 20. 1:48 left to play. No timeouts. You have a freshman quarterback. You're playing one of the top defenses of the state. And they march down the field, and they score with 18 seconds remaining. A great catch by Reed Mueller, who still plays with a soft cast. And then Landon Wheatley caught the winning touchdown. And I tell you, that the Zarlatanis kid, I think, last night, too, willed the Rockets to victory. 21 rushes for 170 yards and a touchdown. But, man, that Rockridge defense last night, were they flying to the ball. And they really did a number on the Morrison offense last night that had been racking up a ton of rushing yards this season.
Yeah, so 14-7 the final score, like you said. Morrison entering last night 38.5 points per game, and last week they had 494 yards of total offense, and for Rockridge to hold them to 7 points and 3 first downs, and I think it was something like 127 total yards, I mean, that's a dominant performance by that defense. And we've talked about it throughout the year. That's the group that is going to take Rockridge as far as they go. I mean, you look at the players they have defensively, especially against the run. I mean, we've talked about it, the teams, you know, you're going to struggle to run it against Rockridge. And if Morrison can't run against Rockridge, I don't think anybody will be able to, because you've seen what they've done throughout the year. They have three, you know, maybe even four guys out of the backfield that are really, really dynamic and have had huge seasons. And for Rockridge to be able to bottle them all up and hold them to 7 points is about as impressive of a performance as we'll see this season.
Yeah, and again, marching down the field 80 yards with no timeouts and 1:48 left to play and to score and win that game. What an impressive win for the Rockets. Again, 17 first downs to 3 first downs. And then the other big issue for them, you know, we talked about, and Coach Graves was so upset last week, 27 penalties in two games that they won, you know, the Orion game handily last week, 2 touchdowns. And I was thinking to myself, man, they're gonna lose this game tonight when they got down 7-0 and they committed just 2 penalties for 10 yards. But and they won the penalty battle. I see Morrison last night had 10 penalties for 75 yards. So that was a big difference in that game last night. So then we segue from there, and you think about what was on the line last night for Orion and Sherrard. Both teams have 4 losses. And when I saw the initial report that Orion was up 12-0, I thought, oh, man, is the similar storyline going to develop like it did last year, where Sherrard played all those close games and then really Orion won quite handily last year in the matchup. But credit the Tigers, when their backs were kind of against the wall last night, they really rallied and are able to beat Orion last night and keep their playoff hopes alive.
Yeah, the way that game started for Sherrard was pretty ominous, I would say. So they got a 3-and-out defensively right away, and Orion punted the ball away, and it hit one of the players blocking for Sherrard, and Orion recovered it and then was able to score a touchdown. Sherrard on their ensuing drive then fumbled when the quarterback, Colin Anderson, got sacked. He got hit from behind and lost the ball, and then Orion recovered and went down the field and scored. And it was 12-0, kind of like in the blink of an eye. Sherrard then rallied. They scored 2 times in the second quarter to go up 13-12 at halftime, added another touchdown to extend the lead to 20-12. So they scored 20 unanswered. And at that point, you're kind of thinking, well, Orion, with the way the season's gone for them, 4 losses in a row, a heartbreaker last week, you'd think, like, well, maybe they might fold here and just, you know, kind of pack it in. They didn't do that. They went on and scored the next 14 points to go up 26-20. And Sherrard takes over after forcing a punt at their own 2-yard line with 1:41 to go and 1 timeout. And they march down the field and score the game-winning touchdown with 5 seconds on the clock. Well, the game-tying touchdown, I should say, on a 23-yard touchdown pass from Holland Anderson to Cyrus Hoke, who... Hoke, the story with him is that Sherrard was playing without 2 of their normal starting wide receivers last night. Sam Crownover is hurt, and Garrett Woodward is hurt as well. He plays with a soft cast, so he wasn't really playing offense. So Hoke is a kid who, entering last night, hadn't made a reception all season, and he catches the game-winning touchdown pass on 3rd and 10 with, 5 seconds left, trailing by 6 points. He finished with 4 catches for 76 yards overall on that touchdown. And then the PAT attempt was wild because it's raining at the end of the game and Sherrard is trying to kick the PAT. I think Noah Fender, before the kick, was 20 for 20 on PATs this season. He's a really good player and a really reliable kicker. First attempt, he makes it, but Orion jumped offside, so it's a pre-snap penalty, so they have to replay it. The next snap is a low snap that rolls past the holder. So Fender, as the kicker, picks it up, kind of scrambles to his right, trying to just throw it desperation into the end zone. It almost gets caught, but it's incomplete. But as he was hit, he got horse-collared when the defender tackled him. And Sherrard also had an illegal man downfield, so there was offsetting penalty. So then they tried the PAT a third time, and that time he kicks it through. And then there's just one play left, and Sherrard gets a stop. They sack Cale Filler to win it by a final of 27-26. Last night, Holland Anderson for Sherrard, 26 for 46, passing for 294 yards and 2 touchdowns. Carter Brown, another great night for the sophomore, 11 catches for 113 yards and a touchdown. And then Noah Fender for the Tigers, 23 carries, 85 yards and a touchdown there. Want to touch on Orion quickly. Cale Filler had another really good night, 14 for 20, 231 yards, 4 touchdowns. He's a sophomore. And then their best player last night, I thought, was sophomore wide receiver Owen Voorhees, 7 catches for 152 yards and 2 touchdowns. The total offense in this game, 419 yards for Sherrard, 304 for Orion, 25 first downs for Sherrard, 9 for Orion last night. And the big thing was the time of possession. Sherrard, 32 minutes, Orion just 16.
Wow. And credit Eric Hutchins with time of possession.
Yeah,
that's a great
stat. He does a great job, yeah. Keep.
So, man, 46, you say 46 pass attempts?
Yeah.
Holy smokes. So
they ran a lot of plays, though, because they also, counting up really quickly, they had 38 rushing attempts, too. I mean, they had the ball basically the whole night when you look at the time of possession split. So they ran. It's pretty even, really, when you look at it.
So I thought last night, and we'll hear from our coaches this morning, Brandon Johnston and Coach Filler and Coach Graves and Coach Matlick will be in studio with us at about 9:30. It was, in the post game last night, I was talking to Coach Graves, and the one thing I said to him last night at the end, just the definition of kind of interscholastic athletics, that, it's just the beauty of the game last night where you have two really good teams playing, and it's a knockdown, drag out, 14-7. And I asked him, I said, just, respond to that. It's just the thrill of victory, as they say, or just the thrill of, and the beauty of interscholastic athletics. I said, well, what do you think about that? And he said, I'm sad that more kids don't want to be a part of it. And I thought that was such a great answer to, that type of game last night and that type of emotion. And him saying, well, it's just too bad. I think there's more kids that could get something out of this that choose not to play. So
right.
you can hear those comments in our interview coming up with Coach Graves here a bit later in the program.
Well, when we talked with Coach Filler last night, and you'll hear his interview coming up, you talk about kind of both ends of that. Now, he was, beat up, really. That two brutal losses in a row for them where they lose on the last play of the game while they're leading twice in a row. Last week, up by 7, and Erie Provincetown scores and goes for 2 with no time on the clock to win by 1. Last night, a touchdown with 5 seconds left where you're up 6 to lose by 1 point again. And you talk about kind of both ends of the spectrum with, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, where Coach Filler, he was, almost emotional after that loss last night when he was talking to us. And then on the flip side for Sherrard, seeing their kids after the game with how many close losses they've suffered the past two seasons, really, to win a game like that over a rival like Orion at home. They got to ring the victory bell at Clifford King Field for the third time this season. And Coach Johnson, too, you could tell for them that winning that game was really important. And for them to beat Orion in a game like that, to knock Orion out, really, I think, meant something to Sherrard, too. And that's why we talk about, why it's fun when local schools play each other, is that you don't, last night it was Mercer County versus Illini West, 3-3, 3-3. There's no emotion in that game at all. You know what I mean? So with Sherrard and Orion playing, with Rockridge and Orion, Rockridge and Sherrard, games like that where it's the local school, it means something. And last night you could tell, you know, Sherrard really wanted to beat Orion, and Orion really wanted to beat Sherrard. And a great game comes down to the wire, and Sherrard gets a win 27-26.
Yeah, and then we segue to Mercer County, and they're definitely trekking in the right direction, where the Eagles win 36-8 last night, as it was Illini West, I see, scoring on a big play, I think an 82-yard run to pull within 16-8. But Mercer County scored the final 20 points of that game and led it then 28-8 at halftime. So Mercer County in a position now, I think, really to win out and finish 6-3. I'll talk comparative scores because I know coaching staffs don't do that, but you see Macomb last night lost 52-8 to Elmwood Brimfield. Then the Eagles finish up on the road at West Hancock. They're in a great position to win out now. I mean, and really feel good with, one, their health, and then just playing a lot better down the stretch, because they took care of business last night. It was nice to see that, especially at home at Pratt Memorial Field.
The first home win they got this season, and also when you look at kind of the performance they had, I mean, I think they needed a game like that where, you know, the past couple weeks they got throttled by Farmington and Knoxville, and then last week they struggled a little bit. They didn't pull away from Elmwood Brimfield. It was a close game throughout. For them to have a game where they kind of just control it throughout the night is something I felt like they needed to have, and they did a nice job last night. Like you said, 36-8 the final, where it really didn't seem like it was ever really in doubt that they were going to win that game. And when you look at the next couple of weeks, I mean, those are games you should win against teams that haven't been very good this year, Macomb and West Hancock. So, like you said, a good spot for them to hopefully get to 6-3. I can't wait for them to be in the track next year, though.
Yeah, it'll be great. So, okay, well, I guess we can say it. So, if Rock Ridge wins out 8-1 and Mercer County wins out 6-3, is that a potential first-round matchup in Edgington?
That would be really, really fun. That would be great. I hope so. Wouldn't that be amazing? Yeah. Oh, man.
And this is the time where we start looking at some of the conjecture and speculation, as they say, of the playoff pairings, and maybe we can bring in Terry Bewley and see what he has to say about all the lineup. All right, anything else about Mirko last night, Illini West? We'll have Tanner Matlick coming up at 9:30 this morning.
Not really, just a nice win for the Golden Eagles to get to 4-3. You know, I know earlier in the season it felt like maybe they've righted the ship. You know, they lost to United in week one, and then with the two kind of blowout losses to Knoxville and Farmington back-to-back, I think there was a little bit of maybe worry or panic even about, you know, are we going to get to the playoffs or what? But now back on track, they've, like I said, kind of righted the ship a little bit. And I think are looking, I mean, about it, after losing to United in week one, now heading into week eight, you're in about as good of a spot as you could be at 4-3 and looking at two games that look like they are definitely very winnable. So
yeah, we talked about it last night on The View from the West Instant Reacts. So I was surprised last night. Was it South Fulton that beat United to
34-6.
To eliminate the Red Storm from playoff contention?
So the last 2 weeks, they get beat by A-Town, who was winless, and then South Fulton clobbered them. They got beat by more than 20 in both of those games.
Yeah, and so they come in here week one and win at Pratt Memorial Field, and you think, you know, what do you have circled on your schedule as potential wins? And then they're eliminated from the playoffs after beating Mercer County in week one. They're eliminated from playoff contention in week seven. That was just kind of a strange finish. I was going to say last night, so, you know, it's always great when you have these games that come down to the wire. And I know Ty posted some of the final drives on WRMJ.com with the waning moments of the Sherrard game and the waning moments of the Rock Ridge game. And I didn't realize last night that a couple of times Coach Cook was clapping on the broadcast.
So was Eric Hutchins.
But that's the type of game it was last night. A really fun night of local radio. And then it's always fun on Saturday morning to get the reaction. And hopefully the Tigers of Sherrard can win out. And then we'll have three of our local teams playing week 10. In 2 weeks from today, we'll have our playoff pairing show. So that's coming up. But we'll let our coaches kind of sort things out today. And by the way, good luck to Hannah Graves and Anna Carroll. They're two Rock Ridge young ladies. Rock Ridge did not advance as a team today to the final round, but Hannah Graves did. Great kid. Had her on the air, and of course her dad's the football coach, and Anna Carroll, and then Daphne Graves, Sam's wife, is the head golf coach. Good luck to those kids. And then Andrew Boland from Sherrard, able to kind of grind his way to the final round of the boys' state golf meet, which is in Bloomington Normal, and the girls' is in Decatur.
Also, Riverdale boys' golf, one stroke off the lead today heading into round two. They're behind Effingham St. Anthony. We talked a lot about Riverdale last night on the View from the West podcast too, but with the great golf tradition they have, chasing a state championship potentially today in Class 1A. So good luck to the Rams in the track, right? Bring home a state title.
I want to get their coach on Sportsline sometime and talk about what their tradition is in golf, because they win every year.
Well, and
it's
look
not
at them,
even close.
They're top four this year, I believe, a junior and three sophomores. So I mean, they got everybody coming back next year. But quickly, before we get to our coaches, a couple of other, I think, interesting results from last night. Anawan Weathersfield beat Farmington 33-15, so both of those teams now 6-1 on the season. Kewaunee beat Monmouth Roseville 42-21. And then Stark County gets to 7-0 by defeating Princeville 48-28. I don't know if there was anything really other interesting. Princeton gets to 6-1, a 42-0 win over Bureau Valley. So teams that are kind of in the upper echelon around the area taking care of business. I do think Anawan Weathersfield beating Farmington is a little bit interesting. And, you know, I think, like you said this last night too, next week Fulton and Knoxville play.
That's a huge measuring stick.
That's when we're going to learn how, if the Lincoln Land Conference is any good or not. Because if Fulton just kind of blows away Knoxville, then it's like, well,
that's a huge indicator
that'll,
of what
that'll
the
say a lot about
area.
What everybody is around
this
area.
Fulton's now, was that their third loss last night against Dupec, and they've lost to Forreston and
Leland Winslow.
So they get Knoxville, who they won last night. Knoxville, they rolled
47-26 over West Hancock, so they're 7-0.
Is that game at Knoxville next week, or do you know, is it Fulton?
I think it's in Knoxville.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting game between the track and the Lincoln Land. All right, let's hear from our head coaches at
the NUIC. Yeah. Fulton's not in the track.
Excuse me.
I wish they were.
They used to be in the track. Well, then they talked about the potential. Is there a potential for Fulton to play Morris? And that's like the big rivalry.
Yeah, that'd be great. The playoffs. Bring the wooden shoe back out.
Yeah, Tab Ballmer wants to do that too with the Alexis Alito rivalry. All right, so we have Sam Graves coming up. We have Brandon Johnston. I'm anxious to hear what Chip Filler had to say the last 2 weeks, man, right at the very end. You talk about stinging losses, but the one thing I'll always say about him, that dude always faces the music.
Yep.
He don't care.
He walked right up.
He always shuffles
last night.
Up the steps. You hear him coming, and he puts on the headsets, and it's great. All right, let's break and hear from Sam Graves, his conversation after last night. Very exciting finish to the Rock Ridge Morrison game as the Rockets win it 14-7. And this is the WMJ Sportsline.
Building
on a Saturday
relationships,
morning.
Supporting the community and service. These are the things Country Financial stands for. We're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of our community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. Since we're already neighbors, let's get together and chat to talk about the things that are important to you and how we can help you protect them. See your local Country Financial representative today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
John Waugh.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
In Orion, see me, Julie Hessler.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
Foot comfort is important at work. Have you noticed your feet slipping from poor traction? Do your feet slide inside your boots or shoes? If so, it's time for a new pair of Red Wing and Wolverine work boots from 6140 Run. Red Wing boots are abrasion resistant, waterproof, insulated, and come in both safety and soft toe. Wolverine is built for durability. Tackle a tough job or outdoor activity with Red Wing and Wolverine work boots. They come in casual styles too. For hard working quality and comfort, see 6140 Run at 185 West Main Street in Galesburg.
Well, we were treated to a wonderful night of high school football. Man, a hard-hitting game, two quality defenses going, as they say, mano a mano in Whiteside County. We're joined by Rocket head coach Sam Graves. Let's talk about discipline football. First number I'm going to tell you, 2 penalties, 10 yards for the Rockets tonight. Played some very disciplined football, which can be difficult in a high-emotion game. Got to be proud of the kids tonight, man. They really stepped up.
Very proud. Great discipline all across the board. I know that's been a sticking point for us lately with assignments, with penalties. And tonight was much better. You saw defensive side of the ball also. To play, we think we have a good defense against the rush, but to play the defense we want to play, we have to be very disciplined also with our reads, with our keys, how we fit. It matters on what side of a blocker you fill on or fit with in this defense, and the kids did a great job tonight. They were very disciplined.
All right, so tell us, you know, you give up, I think, unofficially tonight, 3 first downs. And, of course, 2 of them occurred on the long pass play that you had defended, I thought.
Yeah.
It got over the head of the defender and then kind of on back, you know, a little bit back on your heels, and they get the big running play. But you limited them to 3 first downs through 48 minutes, and you saw the numbers they had coming into this game. What was working so well defensively for the Rockets tonight?
You know, it was a little bit of everything. We gave them a little bit of a safety rotation with some motion, and those guys were getting in there and making some good tackles and plays. Again, though, it comes down to the front we have out there. We had those, a majority besides Reese Finch, obviously hurt graduating last year, but everybody but him, 6 out of 7 coming back. And that is a, last year was a stout run defense. And when you have 6 out of 7 coming back with, you know, with Ryan Lower and Alex Zarlatanis in the middle, and then Frere and Jude Finch and McCaig's coming along this year. Last year as a freshman, he only played offense. We want him to break into one side of the ball. And now he's being a two-way player only as a sophomore. So those guys are playing some great football up front. You got to be a little nasty to play football. You got to take some shots. You want to give some shots. And we have that up front.
All right. So weird night where you really controlled this game and had some opportunities. And I thought, you know, after the first play of the game tonight where you fumble and you stop them, and they go back, they started that drive at their 18, finish up at their 33, or finish up at your 33, where you get off the field right off the bat after that turnover. And I thought, well, now the momentum's on Rockridge side. You really kind of controlled the game, and then, boom, lo and behold, you get down 7-0. So can you just talk about coming back tonight? You know, and you come back and you pull within 7-6, you get the PAT block. That's a little bit deflating. So how'd you do it tonight after you got down?
Well, it's those guys on the field. There was never doubt. There was never hanging heads. And they stayed with high emotion and high energy all night. And again, you have to against that good of an offense with that speed all over the field. Man, you got to feel just perfect. And you give them a crease, and those couple kids are gone. So they just that energy they were able to bring all night on the defensive side of the ball, and that's what helped us offensively to find our legs. We went backwards a little bit sometimes tonight, whether it was throws, reads. Up front, we had what we wanted. We knew what they were going to give us, and just some miscommunication on the offensive line with some of our blocking schemes that they knew. They would come off the field right away and say, hey, my bad, I was supposed to do this, I did this. So they knew what they were doing. Just a fantastic job sticking with it, believing, not getting down 7-0 and shutting down and say, uh-oh. So just a fantastic job. Credit to the kids for believing, trusting.
Credit to the coach.
Trusting.
That's right. And then I'll say, so the two